This is Electric Sisterhood, podcast episode number 196. I know what zombies like. I know what zombies want.
Electric Sisterhood, home of the best.
The fucking best.
Girl gaming tech gadget and anime podcast. I am Ninja Sister.
And I am Pandalicious.
Welcome to another episode of our weekly podcast. Did you have fun last week?
No.
Why?
Work.
What happened? Oh. The real world, bitch.
I know.
Reality. It's not for everybody.
No.
But what is for everybody is our website. Because we've got lots of really fun stuff there. We've got a little bit for everybody. So make sure that you're visiting us at www.electricsisterhood.com. Or you can use our short address, which is
esh.mobi. That's esh.mobi. The short address will bounce into the long one. And you can check out any articles that have been written within the week. If you have any questions about those articles or just questions for us, you can email us at questions@esh.mobi. If you aren't listening to us on iTunes, you can subscribe.
The link is everywhere. It's on the site. You can search for Electric Sisterhood in iTunes. Guess what? You'll find us. Subscribe.
I mean, if you don't want to do that, you can plug us into any RSS feeder or any podcast search engine. And you can also listen to some great shows coming out of the ESH camp.
That's right. We're like an internet mafia, but with way less racketeering. So no can sue me. But make sure that you're checking out shows like the Boston Bastard Brigade, which is co-hosted by our very own King Baby Duck. You can find their new episodes every Tuesday, and they're at bostonbastardbrigade.com. And you can also listen to new episodes of Geek Aggro, which is officially part of the fam. What? At their new website at geekaggro.com. Their new episodes go out typically on Mondays and Tuesdays, but we suggest that you listen to them on Wednesdays because then right there, we've carried you through internet podcast goodness to hump day. And then to fill out the rest of the week, well, there's all the stuff that we write. So make sure you're reading it on all of the collective websites. Electricsisterhood.com, BostonBastardBrigade.com, GeekAggro.com. Oh my God.
And then there's lots of cum.
And there's lots of cums. We've got cums all over your face.
Ew.
In front of your face. In front of your face. I'm sorry.
Because in your ear holes.
You're supposed to ask first. It's in front of your face. And then there's the Twitter and the Facebook and the YouTubes. It's craziness. So make sure that you're checking it all out. Plus, we have some other goodies coming down the way. So, with that, the only other thing I can remind you guys of before we jump into the meat and bones of this here show is that we are taking questions for Eshmom. We're getting moms in on all of the fun. So, if you have a question that you don't necessarily feel comfortable asking your mom or like somebody with a little more wisdom to answer, or I just want to ask our mom something really, really inappropriate and or funny, send your question to questions@esh.mobi, and we'll pick a couple, and we'll get her to answer them, and we'll air it at the end.
Even if we have to trick her.
Especially if we have to trick her.
Like gorilla shooting, I'll be in a bush, and it'd be like, random voice, hey, lady, what do you think about this? What?
And hilarity ensues.
Oh my God, I have so many great ideas.
We're going to viral market our mom. It's awesome. Okay.
Ash mom says
fuck a lot, just so you know.
No, she says shit a lot.
She does say shit a lot, but she sometimes says fuck too.
No, she doesn't say fuck shit though.
She doesn't say fuck shit though.
Does she say shit fuck?
No, but she does say for shit, for fuck's sake.
Yeah, she says, yep.
She says that a lot.
Yeah.
And that's when you're right. I giggle in my heart area.
Your heart can giggle?
Can't you?
Giggles!
It's when it stops giggling and it goes, ee! You have a problem.
Good point.
Touché. You should consult a physician.
Point taken.
At that point. All right. So we've got lots and lots of stuff to talk about this week. I'm actually going to kick it off with, believe this, a fan thing.
No, really?
Yes.
All right. Let's do it.
Okay, so I got an email in this week that I absolutely loved, and it's been the thing that I've been using as my happy place all week long when things have just been getting me a little bit down. This has been my happy place. So we got an email sent to us from Golden Jelly Bean, or at least that's the name that she posts her videos on YouTube. First of all, thank you. Thank you so much for those links because they're adorable. Basically, what she's been doing when school hasn't been getting her down is that she's been crocheting themed sack boys. So if you've ever played the little Big Planet game, the little dudes that you dress up and all that
kind of stuff. Or you have friends who
have played it. If you've seen, you've seen the commercial. You've seen a commercial at some point in time. And those cute little sack dolls, she mixes them. But she makes themed ones. She made an Ed Elric one, which I thought was a damn good one, by the way. From looking at the videos that she sent us. She made one of the main character from Eco, which is one of my all-time favorite games. So right there, I was in love with you. And then, because it is my fave, and she also made Vivi from Final Fantasy 1.
Yep.
And if you look at some of her other videos, she's also made a Totoro. Now, these guys aren't for sale, which made my heart kind of sink a little bit. But she basically said, you know, school keeps her really busy right now, so she can't really mass produce them. But the quality of these things are great. She even created a how-to video.
And how to make them?
On how to make them, how to crochet them, which is really, really adorable. So I definitely recommend that if you have time, you want to learn a skill, you want to make something awesome, that you check Golden Jelly Bean on the YouTubes out, her channel. She's got like 50 videos. It was awesome. Like, because I know that you saw a couple of them, right, Panda?
Yes, I did.
Okay, what was your favorite out of the ones that she's
out of the ones that I saw? I really like the Totoro. But again, I'm a big Hayao Miyazaki fan, so.
Miyazaki-sama!
And I like the Edward Elric one also. So. Yeah,
those ones are really good.
Yeah.
The one was my favorite, though.
But and I crochet, so I'm like, damn, I wish my skill was that good.
I don't crochet.
I crochet and knit. I sashay and I sashay. I can make squares that turn into blankets or scarves.
Speaking of which, where the fuck is my blanket that you've been making for like 3 years?
I wasn't making you a blanket. I was making you a scarf. It's halfway done.
No, it was. It started out as a blanket.
Oh, well, I guess I envisioned a blanket.
And I was promised
it's a blanket. It's a blanket for your neck.
Like the one that you made for mom, and it's now turned into a scarf that I haven't gotten.
Yeah, and well, the only reason why I still have it is I don't know how to cast off yet.
You should figure that out.
That's what she said. It sucks because I'm like, oh, well, I'm done with it, but I don't know how to cast off, so I'll do another line.
It's just a scarf that will not end.
Either there are scarves that turn into blankets or blankets that turn into scarves.
And that never are finished.
Yeah. Well, one right now is a face cloth, but like I said, I can't cast off, so it might turn into a scarf too.
You should really, you know, there's probably a YouTube on it.
I should go look for it because if I don't, I'll have never ending blankets and scarves.
That's awesome. Okay, so again, Golden Jelly Bean, thank you for the video. It's inspired us. And it's my happy place. It really is. So yeah, let's get into meat and bones. Keep those kinds of things coming, by the way. If there's a cool thing that you do, and sweetheart, I know school is like really hectic and everything, but as soon as it's done, you totally need to get an Etsy shop because I will put cash money down if you'll make me an eco one. Like cash money. Well, like credit.
If she's a true fan of us, then she should make a little Ninja Sister and Pandalicious one.
Yeah, but we're still trying to figure out what that's going to really look like. Because I'm now starting to get really attached to my Xbox avatar.
Hey, I have a brand new hoodie that matches my drawn avatar, so
I'd
be happy with that.
Yeah, I have yet to find somebody that can capture the essence of what I really want my avatar to look like. So
I know, yours just keeps changing. Now you got a fro and shit?
Yeah. Because I got a fro.
Well, then, okay, then.
I've released my fro.
Well, I think I changed her hair a couple weeks ago since I got my hair cut, but I don't have the money to be going off to the marketplace to buy some new clothes there.
Right now, my avatar is wearing the Sam Fisher outfit with an afro. That's how I roll. And playing a guitar. Because that's how I roll. I was going to get the locust pet, but I was like, it might bite me. And I feel bad.
No, it starts to look like it's going to blow up, but then it goes away.
And then
away.
It goes away, the little ticker. Yeah.
Yeah. All right. I would love a ticker pet.
Just not in real life, though, because that shit would just be blowing up all the time in the wrong and most inappropriate places. And it'd be like, you know, on the blacklist because they'll think you're a terrorist because you keep blowing things up. You're like, no, it's my pet. Anyway, now that that stuff's out of the way, we've got some anime stuff and some game stuff to talk about. Well, a lot of game stuff to talk about. So let's get the quick one out of the way. We were sent a question a while ago, which we're just now getting around to because sometimes we're lazy, about the end of Inuyasha and what our thoughts were on it. Now, I have actually...
When he kills Dumbledore?
Yes, when he kills Dumbledore and then he becomes the Phoenix.
Awesome.
Yeah. I think your movies are running together for you. And
I wouldn't be surprised.
Let me see if I can untangle them. So Inuyasha, ridiculously long series. I think...
Oh my God, Long Cat is long, but not as long as Inuyasha.
It's true, though. I mean, there were like 167 episodes of the anime that were done, and then they stopped Inuyasha, the TV series, because the anime series actually caught up to the manga. And they're like, well, rather than keep doing all these filler episodes, we're just going to stop this. And anybody who's still interested in Inuyasha
can read
it, because this is ridiculous. So finally ended the series. And a movie was made, and I was able to actually watch the end of Inuyasha thing. I don't know if you've watched it yet, Panda.
No.
Okay, so if any of you are Inuyasha fans and you haven't seen it, turn the episode, like, fast forward for, like, the next five...
Cautions. For, like, spoilers. In fact,
for, like, 45 seconds, hit the forward button, and then take a listen and see if I'm still talking about Inuyasha, and if I am, then keep fast forwarding. But I'm about to spoil the shit out of it. So the question was, what did we think about how Inuyasha ended?
All right, how did it end? Spoil it for me.
First, I'm going to tell you what I thought about it, and then I'm going to tell you how it ended. Lame sauce!
Okay.
Okay? Just a big old, like 64-ounce bottle of lame sauce. Now I'm going to back up. I liked the Inuyasha series. I liked the series... Subbed, not dubbed, because Inuyasha called Kagome a little whining bitch a lot. And I like that, because she is a little whining bitch for, like, a majority of the series. But basically, the way that it ends, Kikyo, dead.
Duh.
Okay. Yeah, but she dies again, because you know how she got...
No, wait, so she was like, oh, I'm kind of a ghost with souls. I don't really have a real purpose, except, you know, for another...
If she helped out, and then she died. Again. Okay, again. So gone. But this time, like, for reals. Nobody's going to bake up a body and bring her back.
No Phoenix Downs.
No Phoenix Downs. She's got none of those. No one to come and revive.
No zombie juice.
No, she actually fresh out.
Okay.
So, Kikyo, dead. Naraku dies.
Okay.
For real.
You know how many times they say for real reals?
Yeah, but the hole finally goes away in Naraku's hand.
So he can grope women with the other hand now.
Correct. If Sango would let him, which does not happen. But and it's anticlimactic how he dies. Like, Inuyasha got a couple more attacks with his sword, and, like, he forces Kagome to fall into, like, this deep despair thing, and everyone's like, yeah. So as soon as she makes a wish on the jewel, it's going to consume her, and then it'll be all powerful. And then Naraku's like, and then I'll be all powerful, and ha 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 ha, you'll all be fucked.
Okay.
Well, and they're like, and she just has to make a wish. So she could wish for Inuyasha to be able to save her so that she won't be alone. Whatever the wish is, as soon as she makes the wish, she's screwed. Okay, and so, like, okay. The whole, like, a quarter of the episode is just Kagome in this, like, limbo, reliving things in her head. Filler! And then finally making a decision. And then Naraku dies because the decision that she makes is that she just wants the jewel to disappear.
But is it considered a wish?
Evidently not, because Naraku dies. She gets sent back to her world. The well no longer works, so Inuyasha can't get to her, and the hole in Muraku's hand goes away. So evidently it's not...
All right, wait.
Yeah, so, I told you, lame.
So that whole... So the series that got built up to such a big point, oh my God, we're going to have the best battle
just,
ever.
Just, like, disappears into space.
It disintegrates.
It doesn't even disintegrate. It just, like, flies off.
Before Inuyasha can even tap that sweet ass,
it just flies off. Kagome walks up back in the real world.
That is pointless.
I told you, it's covered in lame sauce.
That is pointless. Like, what's the point of a series that's going to end that way? They could do that with all series.
Hold on. I'm not done. Okay. So she winds up back in the real world. Inuyasha keeps going to the well every day to try and find her. She's not there. She goes to the well for a while, can't get through. So she's home. And her mom's like, it'll be okay. And she has, like, these little crying fits. And even her brother.
Oh, my God. My puppy, Mom. My puppy.
And then she finally gets over it and continues on with school and things like that. And, you know, we go back to feudal Japan. And Moroku is, like, knocked up Sango, like, 4 or 5 times. They got, like, 4 kids.
Man, you knew the minute the threat went away that those two were going to hump like rabbits.
Oh, yeah. So they got, like, 3 daughters and, like, 1 son or some shit like that. So they, like, have a litter of kids.
I can imagine that conversation within you. Hey, what's up? Stop reproducing.
Koga winds up.
You're as mad as I can.
I'm serious. Come on now. Koga winds up marrying some wolf pack chick.
What?
I didn't see that. You know, arc, so I don't know who she is. But he ends up getting with her, and he's like, ah, she caught me. And then there's this scene. Okay, and it's been, like, 3 years. So Kagome is technically 18.
Right.
Okay? And for some reason, this particular day, when they both go to the well and make, I guess, a wish at the same time, she's able to flow through the well, and she lands on Inuyasha. And
on his cock.
And they get that fucking. No, they don't. They don't even kiss.
What?
Okay, it just ends up, oh, you've been waiting for me? I'm so sorry it took me so long, Inuyasha. And he's like, yeah, whatever. It's like, I'm just glad you're back. And then they just start walking.
Yeah, to the nearest tree for some humping.
No humping. No sex. They don't even talk for, like, the next 3 minutes.
What?
Yeah.
Okay, reality.
And then Kagome decides to become a priestess because she's dressing like
Tikyo
used to. Okay, Shoshomaru comes by with the little kid bitch still following him. No explanation of what's still going on there. Rin's just kind of hanging out with Shoshomaru, and they're talking.
You know she's polishing that knob.
Rin's like 4 years old. If she is, that's totally fucking wrong. Okay, but she's still trailing behind Shoshomaru, and he's still taking care of her. And they're talking, and Inuyasha and Shoshomaru, you know, still do their little brotherly I hate you thing.
You mean the thing that we do?
Yeah, pretty much. But they actually really love each other. And then,
like we don't.
Wait, what?
Never mind, keep going.
You suck. Anyway, so they finish that exchange, and then Kagome makes a little remark and then calls him Oni-san. So basically brother. Right. And, like, Shoshomaru looks at her like, bitch, did you just call me brother? Like, what the fuck?
Like, you ain't related to me.
Like, WTF, BBQ, what?
Right, okay.
And that was, like, the funniest moment of the whole thing. And then everybody starts laughing, and that's it. Credits.
What?
That's how Inuyasha ends. So after, like, 4 years of investment, and then, like, you know, 3 years being off, The end of Inuyasha, full lame sauce. I don't get a kiss. I don't get fucking. I don't get kids. I don't get explanation. None of that. See, none of that. What the fuck?
See, and that's why I'm so glad that, you know, I stopped reading and watching that a long time ago. I can invest in an anime series that will give me all the stuff that I want, which is battling blood and boobies.
Oh.
And fucking. And mecha.
Wait. Does it have vampires in it, too? Because if it has fucking mecha and vampires and blood in it, I totally want to watch that series. I you know, I can go either way on the vampires thing if I have blood and mecha.
Blood and mecha and political intrigue? Fuck yeah, cookies.
So,
it's on.
Yeah, my whole thing, avoid the end of Inuyasha. Especially if you like Inuyasha. Come up with an end of it in your imagination. You'll be so much happier than watching it. So thanks for the question. Because it ruined. I now have to go and rename my computer because my computer, I named it Inuyasha and my hard drive is named Kagome. Now I have to change that because
it's you should changed. Name one lame and the other one sauce.
I'm going to. It's going to be lame and sauce. So yeah, that was something. Let's go to a happier place.
Okay.
So news came out this week, actually on the 4th, that somebody actually won the MLB 2K sweepstakes. Did you hear about that?
No.
Okay, so the 2K basically created a sweepstakes that started April 1st and ended May 1st, and they were going to give away $1 million to
what?
To the first person that could pitch a perfect game in the new MLB 2K.
The show?
No, it's not. Is it the show? No, it's the 2010 game, right?
Oh, the show? Yeah, but isn't that the show?
I don't know. I don't play the sports games. But I saw this email come through the PR wire, and I was like, dude, they're going to give away $1 million. And I'm like, it must be almost like next to impossible to do this.
Was he from Japan?
No, Alabama.
What?
Yeah.
Lol, what?
Yeah. Okay, so this guy, 24-year-old dude named Wade. Okay. Wade McGilbury, from Alabama, won.
$1 million.
Won $1 million. Yeah, he pitched the perfect game. Because MLB set up this whole thing that you first had to pick a specific mode of the game to play, which was the MLB Today version of the game. And then you had to select that you wanted to participate in the contest. And so it would set up the gameplay parameters. So you couldn't just, you know, cheat it. Like, put it on the easiest setting and put it so that everybody swings at everything kind of settings.
Right.
There were specific mode settings that you had to do. And then you had to videotape it because on the other end, MLB would be recording what was going on. So they wanted to have you visually show what it was doing and they could check their data center stuff, basically.
Holy shit.
To
okay.
verify that you could do it. And if you did, the first person that could do it would win $1 million. And so this dude from Alabama did. And what was really... What I thought was really cool about it was he was quoted when they released the press releases this week as saying, it was actually my wife who convinced me to go for it. I never thought that I'd actually win $1 million playing a video game, and it's all kind of sinking in for me. The game itself is fantastic. I'm glad I bought it either way, but I have to say, this is a nice return on my investment.
Yeah. No shit.
$60 for a game. $1 million prize.
Fuck.
Yeah. That's a hell of a return on your investment. And I love that it was his wife that was like, dude, you should go for it. See, couples that support each other's love for each other
and
their love for gaming become rich people. Sometimes in more ways than one.
Aww.
So I just thought that was really cool. And that, you know, I'm probably going to get some email for this, but I love the fact that it was like this 24-year-old dude from Alabama. Isn't that cute?
It's very cute.
Can I have some money? I want to win $1 million for playing a video game. Good.
Well, then invest in some sports game, bitches.
No, I don't like them. I suck at them. Anyway, I thought that was a cool little news bit. So, last thing I got on deck before I hand over the mic of 1,000 Truths. So I finished Splinter Cell Conviction.
And survey says.
All right, before I get to that, here's what I think is really interesting about Conviction. Okay, it was an on-again, off-again game since, like, 2007.
Right.
Okay, because it got announced in 2007. It was supposed to release in 2008. Then it got pushed back. And then Ubisoft came out and were like, yeah, we're going to work on it a little bit more.
Well, they wanted to make sure it was purely awesome.
Okay, so then they worked on it some more in 2008. And then at E3 last year, they're like, yeah, Splinter Cell Conviction. It's coming out this fall. And I was like, ah, Splinter Cell, Splinter Cell. Oh, my God, Sam Fisher. Oh, my God. And then no Splinter Cell. And they're like, yeah, you know what? We're going to wait until.
We want to do some more tweaking.
We're going to wait till holiday to ship it. And I was like, okay, holiday, holiday. And then holiday came and left. And then they're like, okay. If I were, seriously though, we're going to release it now in like April. And then they finally released it. And I bought it.
Right. Yes.
And I played it. And then I played it. And I played it. And I got to say, I really enjoy it. Now, I'll preface this with, I've been a casual Splinter Cell player. I've typically rented Splinter Cell games, and when I got to the point that either was a pain in the ass to try and get through the level and I lost interest in it, or it just wasn't really fun, and so I took it back, I've never owned a Splinter Cell game. I own Conviction, and I'm glad that I own Conviction. So how familiar with the Splinter Cell series are you, Panda?
None.
Okay. So basically, you're an agent. Sam Fisher, who's basically supposed to be the best badass agent
ever
on the planet. And Sam Fisher is kind of badass, okay? You're in your, you know, early 50s. You're an established man. You're very good at climbing things and stealthily killing people. Because that's the biggest thing about a Splinter Cell game is the stealth. Setting up traps, getting people to walk into the traps, or, you know, just hanging from a pipe on the ceiling and sniping people. Silencers are very important. Silencers are golden. Okay? Well, previously in Splinter Cell games, you found out in the company you were working for, Third Echelon, they're not really your friends.
Right, of
and
course.
And your superior, who you thought was your friend, turned out he kind of had your daughter killed.
No.
And you're not really happy about
that. Well, no, you know what? Have we not learned that you don't fuck around with badass people?
Because you don't badass fuck family, for sure.
I mean, come on, the Punisher, you killed his whole family. What does he do? Well, we know what he did.
Yeah.
So, I mean, have we not learned the lesson?
Evidently, people have not. Okay. So, guess what, people? Again, about to spoil the game. Because it's been a couple weeks now. If you haven't finished Splinter Cell by now, you're not going to. So I'm doing you a favor. You can move on to other games like Alan Wake. You can thank me later. So this game starts off with Sam pretty much still laying low and licking his wounds because his daughter's dead. And it's kind of his fault because if he wasn't in these groups, they wouldn't have tried to get to him by killing his daughter. And he feels really bad. And so he's just hanging out in Italy. And he gets this phone call while he's, you know, just kind of reliving the past, sipping some coffee. That is a woman's voice, and it's actually the character Grimm. And Grimm's like, hey, they're on to you. They're coming for you. They're going to kill you. If you don't listen to me and do exactly what I say, you're not going to get out of here. And so this is the first mission that kind of teaches you the new mechanics, because there are a lot of new mechanics in this Splinter Cell game. So shadows are even more important, and, you know, creating them by taking out lights and things like that. I cannot stress enough, you need to be in shadow, because when you play this game on anything above rookie, if you don't, it will spank you. Oh, Lord Jesus. You also have a mechanic called Mark and Execute that's been added. And what that allows you to do is whenever you do a hand-to-hand takedown, it allows you to, depending upon the weapon that you're using, basically mark other enemies. So, for instance, there's one guard standing at the front door of this building that I need to get into. The door is closed. If I can sneak up on him and take him down by hand, I now will have the ability to use my silenced 45 and peek under the door using a piece of glass and mark any of the people that I see up to, let's say for that weapon, I can mark three people. So if there are four people in the room, I can mark three of them, and then I can do a bust down of the door and with a single tap of a button go into an FMV almost of me actually with single bullets taking out those three people, which allows me to surprise that fourth person, jump them, take them out, and be done with it before anybody can set up an alarm. So Mark and Execute is really a tool, I think, that's been added to allow the casual gamer to really stand a chance, because you now have to be a lot more strategic of your takedowns, because as you build up weapons and move on in the game, you know, there are some weapons that will allow you to target four or five people. So you can get really good and literally take down an entire room of people just for, you know, grabbing one guy and pulling them out of the window and killing them that way. So it's an interesting mechanic. Also, they've added in a last known position deal where now what you can do is you can get detected enough by an enemy to get them to come to your last known position. What they'll do is they'll create a silhouette of where they last saw you, which will allow you to, you know, hide in another part of the room, basically flanking them and allowing you to take them down by hand. Death from above is still something that you could do. So if you're on a pipe and somebody's directly below you, can you instantly stealth take them out by dropping onto them and killing them in the head hole?
In the head hole?
In the head hole. But I like these two mechanics because it allowed me to run through the game fairly quickly on the rookie setting and really enjoy the game running through it the second time on normal because I had a better idea of where I needed to hide. Visually, the game looks great. I mean, I wouldn't say that it's going to set itself, you know, drastically apart from anything else. I would put the visuals on the same level as Modern Warfare. So the character design and the level design is very detailed. You spend a lot of time actually in the U.S., in the Virginia, and eventually the D.C. area. Because, you know, you got to save the president. So, you know, you got to...
Of course, you always have to save somebody.
White House. Always got to do something. And you get to beat up people when you interrogate them. So you can actually walk them over to a wall that has, like, books and stuff on it and slam their head into the books, which is nice, rather than, you know, just watching you kind of punch somebody in the gut over and over again. If you're a fan of the series, it's a definite buy. If you're not, but you enjoy shooter games, it's an absolute must rent. Gotta rent it. The multiplayer is pretty strong. You actually have a co-op story and you have co-op missions where you can do Hunter as one mode, which is my favorite, where you basically are just infiltrating a bunch of maps that get more and more difficult. The goal is to try and take out however many enemies are actually on the level without being detected. Once you're detected, they double the amount of enemies that were on the level, so then you have to be a lot more crafty about clearing them before you can get to the next map. Most levels have about six maps in them. The only pain in the ass thing about it is with that multiplayer mode, you don't have the ability to come out of it and pick up back where you left off. You have to complete all maps in one run. Which, you know, depending upon if you're like me and you got shit to do, can or cannot happen in the time allotted for game time. So that's like my only pet peeve. But if that's the only pet peeve that I have, I gotta tell you, that's a small one. And that's what I said. But the co-op story, I haven't really been able to play because Pandalicious hasn't bought the game yet. So we haven't been
playing. Oh, you're going to put that on me?
Yep.
Why are you going to put that on me for? Don't you have other friends?
I do have other friends, but we've had this conversation. When I am playing a game that I know that I'm not very good at, I only like to play with people who won't ridicule me. That's you.
Oh, and you think by playing with me, I won't ridicule you?
No, because you know I'll kick your ass. So anyway, Gotta rent it. Splinter Cell Conviction, if you like shooters. It's the first time that the story has actually been really prevalent, and I felt like I could really align with Sam Fisher a little bit more. I felt bad for him, you know, because now all he had left was Vic. And then maybe not. So, anyway, if you haven't played it, you need to play it. Get through the entire story because it's really a solid, good game. So, whatever the game was before Ubisoft did all the pushbacks. They did it for the right reason because it is a very solid game. It is a very fun game. And I'm looking forward to the multiplayer. That's my time. Here's the mic of a thousand truths. Panda, what do you got?
I had seen, I don't remember where I saw it, but there was a an article that they had released, I think, earlier this week about now in the Boy Scouts that they're going to give merit badges or loops and pins for gaming.
There is a video. There is a badge that the Boy Scouts can now earn for video games.
For video games. And I was reading
it. Not the Girl Scouts, but just the Boy Scouts. What's up with that?
Could you imagine for Girl Scouts, do Cooking Mama.
Okay.
Do all the Cooking Mama in a mask.
No Imagine Babies. Imagine Babies just needs to stop. I'm going to say that here and now on this podcast today. Imagine Babies just needs to stop.
I completely agree.
Okay. But I'm just saying, if the boys can get a merit badge for playing video games, the girls should be able to get a merit badge for playing video games. It's the only time I'm going to preach about equality on this thing.
Really? Because
about video games
of the show. Regardless. So as I was reading this article, I was just kind of, you know, like, wow. So the Boy Scouts are lacking in boys because they're staying in their basements. Notice that I'm being sarcastic about.
Yes. Insert sarcastic brackets here.
Yes, here. So because they won't come out of their basements, we figure, oh, if we implement that into everyday life, they may come out.
If we promise to give you a badge for playing your video games, will you come out of your room from playing your video games to get it?
Maybe once a week, which is enough because most meetings are only once a week. So as I was reading, you know, what these boys, because it's, you know, Boy Scouts, right, what they'd have to do, I'm kind of sitting there going, what? I don't understand what this has to do with the Boy Scouts. Because from what I understand, they're supposed to be all be prepared, drop me off in the middle of the woods for like a month, and I'll live off of squirrel meat and make a hut out of like fern leaves. And I don't know how gaming would help them survive in the wilderness, especially when there's like no electricity. I mean, unless they could like make a generator and use like a kite. Oh, that'd be really awesome. Actually, now that I think about it, but regardless, they wouldn't have a TV, so it wouldn't be able to work like that. Anyway, so I mean, I was just reading up on some of them and, you know, like, you know, making good decisions about choosing an appropriate game for you, you know, go with your parents, do family night. I'm like, it seems kind of redonkulous to me. Like, it doesn't, I don't get it. I don't get how it's supposed to build manly confidence or whatever you build in Boy Scouts. I mean, I'm not a boy, so I wouldn't know. But
now you're a man! Male, male, male!
And then what happens? You go through your Boy Scouts, you become an Eagle Scout. I've dated a couple of those. And I know. Yeah.
Wow.
Two. And they were both dumb fucks. Regardless. And, you know, like, I think they had gotten some Eagle Scouts to comment on this. And they were just like, wow, I am now ashamed to be an Eagle Scout because of stuff like this. And I know they're only slightly bitter because, one, they won't be able to get that merit badge. They'd have to go get a belt loop or whatever the fuck it is, and they would have to go through all that silly stuff when they're all, like, over 20 years old and are already playing games that are well beyond, you know, what I guess the lesson is supposed to be through getting this merit badge. I think it's supposed to be something.
It's just an attempt by the Boy Scouts of America to try and stay current, because it's not just that, you know, boys aren't going outside, because they are. Okay, they're scamming.
I know, they're going and robbing people.
They're
scamming. And raping women.
Stop it. Stop it. Not all of them, just the bad ones. Because they keep getting stuck inside. But the kids are going outside. Kids are playing. They're skating. They're, you know, grouping together and smoking, which is bad for them because of all those commercials that they just want to smoke.
The marijuana.
Drugs are bad, okay? We don't promote the use of illegal narcotics.
Heroin hero.
Stop it. I almost caught, you almost caught me. You almost caught me that time. Get out. Come on, chase me. Come on, chase me. That episode is just way too funny of South Park, by the way. It's wrong in so many places. But I think that this is just an attempt, like I said, for them to stay current. Because, you know, it's really difficult to get kids today to join the Boy Scouts and to stick with it to become an Eagle Scout. Because, you know, who wants to learn how to tie knots? Okay, I want to learn how to play Through the Fire and the Flames on Extreme and make it.
I want to learn how to, well, I mean, I already know how, but I learned mine from a different.
I mean, me personally, I would love to be able to tie nautical knots. I'd like to be able to do more than just the butterfly loop when I tie my sneakers. But that's me. Like, it's
you
really,
can go to a FetCon, they'll teach you.
If I go to a FetCon, it's going to be for something else. Anyway. But what I'm saying is I think that this is not necessarily an attempt to, you know, instill some values behind video games, because video games have their own value. But I think this is just a way for the Boy Scouts of America to say, hey, we get it. Times are changing, you know,
changing.
And we appreciate that. So, hey, you know, for this thing that you really enjoy doing, we could give you a badge. And so now you can actually do it more often, and you can come to the meetings and talk about how you pursued this badge with other people trying to pursue this badge. So I think it's a way for them to try and stay relevant in a time where, you know, most kids that age already have cell phones, they're texting, they're on Twitter. You know, how do you reach that kid to come sit by the campfire and do s'mores if they've never tasted the awesome goodness of a s'more?
Oh, s'mores are awesome.
S'mores are so awesome.
And they promote interracial blendings. I'm sorry, they do.
So
I love it.
Well, the graham cracker is the Mexicans, and then the chocolate is the black people, and then the marshmallow is the white people. What about the Japanese?
Sushi.
You put sushi on a s'more? I don't think so.
Well, if you got some weird tastes, maybe.
It's almost the perfect diversity meal.
But there's different kind of sushis. Some of them don't even have fish. You can have the seaweed from, like, Japan.
I'm not putting seaweed near my chocolate.
Well, seaweed does not go near the... You can put fried chicken. You can put seaweed, rice, and fried chicken.
That's not a s'more.
No.
That's like a double-down sandwich light.
Regardless. So, I mean... All in all, I would just...
By the way, that double down sandwich is straight coonery. I said it. You heard me.
Did you just say coonery?
I did, because it is. I'm just putting it out there. Anyway, for real. Anyway. For reals. And you know it's true.
Anyway, so I just wanted to bring up this article because, one, it made me giggle in my mind about, you know, just how dumb it sounds. Like, if they were going to make a merit badge, then it should be, like, really tough ones. Like an achievement. Like, you know, once the kid's old enough to play like a fighting game, you know, hone your skills and challenge Justin Wong. We're not expecting you to win, but challenge the man. You know, something like that.
But I mean, if you beat Justin Wong, do you get the Justin Wong badge?
Yes. And then you become the Pokemon master. So, I mean,
hey, Pokemon, it's like, gotta get them all.
So, I'd like to make them more realistic. And then for Eagle Scouts, you know, get Modern Warfare 2, join, like, a clan of your, like, club brethren or whatever the categorization fucking
thing is.
And play for an hour and, you know, and have be the winning team, you know, or something like that. I mean, make them a little bit more, like, you know, practice your math skills. Fuck that shit. Give me a gun. Give me some zombies. Give me some napalm, and let's be done with it, shall we?
The Boy Scouts of America.
And the boys, be fucking prepared.
That should not be prepared to work with napalm.
Oh my god, they could play zombie games and then talk about zombie survival for the apocalypse.
The zombie apocalypse is not upon us.
It could happen.
It's not gonna happen.
We should talk about.
We've had this conversation.
Prepare for it. Or bomb shelters. Have them play a war game. Okay, well, what can we do to ward against a nuclear attack? I mean, come on, let's be a little more current here instead of math.
I got a question since you bring that up, okay? All right. Since we're talking about this, you know, there's a new Medal of Honor game that's going to come out. They made the announcement, and it's going to be the first time that there's going to be a Medal of Honor game that's not going to be happening during World War II.
Thank God. There's only so many stories that you can make out. Okay, save some Jews, kill some Germans, get out of Germany. Okay.
Well, yeah.
I mean, you could always, you know, you could, oh, maybe one time you're a German who thinks it's wrong to kill the Jews. So now you're going to go and save the Jews.
Schindler's List, the video game, is not really going to be very popular.
Oh, my God. Put them in a sweatshop. Pretend like you kill them and send them to a different country. Like the Underground Railroad for Jews.
Oh my gosh. Okay, you know what? Let's keep moving. But this time, Medal of Honor is going to be set in Afghanistan.
Yes, I heard that.
And, you know, I mean, think about this. This is kind of huge. It's the first big move, big shift for Medal of Honor in like 11 years. I can't believe that Medal of Honor is that old. How old does that make me? Oh my God. Shut up. But, you know, do you think that this is going to be a trend? And do you see this as something that the young male gamer, one, is going to be really aware of? And two, you know, is this something that you could see, like, junior ROTC groups gathering and making part of the program to play through these games? Because let's face it, they're getting more and more realistic. I mean, the Medal of Honor guys spent time working with Tier 1 operators to make sure that featuring them in the game, that the game would be as realistic as the things that they are doing now. So, you know, what do you think?
Well,
and would that be something that, you know, these groups should really be badging specific on? You know, play through a war game that is very realistic, talk about the experience and what you learned, and then here's your badge.
I would see that being a lot. You'd get a lot more out of a scenario like that than the, you know, the category, you know, the requirements for the badges now. Mm-hmm. So I mean, that seems more likely to me. The only issue I think I would have with that is, you know, because now I'm gonna have to go to literature. Now I don't know if you've ever read the books.
Okay.
Ender's Game. Does it sound familiar to you?
No, I never read it.
All right. Well, it's on the reading list for, I think, high schoolers now. Actually, now, because with a lot of, you know, really dumb kids, I think they're pushing it even younger now because they want to expose people to actually decent sci-fi literature. Anyway, and, you know, a breakdown of it is, you know, we're in the future, we're in space, and what they do is, you know, there are still people on Earth, I believe, and they take children. And they take them into space and they pretty much teach them to be like space, not pirates, pilots.
Uh-huh. Like, space pirates, not to be confused with space pilots.
No, pilots. So, you know, and they go through all this training to become part of the military force. And they are doing these simulators where, you know, they're in like a ship and it's like a video game. And they've been doing it, and they do this for years. And they're like, oh, you know, we came for the simulator, da 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 da. You know, and they grow up a little bit. I don't think they get too old in the books. But at the very end of the first
book. Because then they have to go to Carousel?
They would, well, no, because then they'd have to go through the, you know, Tri-Wizard Tournament. Okay. And, you know, and they'd have to fight Voldemort and all that stuff. And whatever.
Okay.
So, but at the end of the first book, you actually, you know, you find out, because, you know, they're like, oh, this is the hardest simulator ever, you know, and, you know, not too many people pass it, you know, and all the adults are kind of very, you know, they're not saying what they should be saying. you know, and I figured this out way before I got to the end of the book that, you know, there was something going on with these simulators. And they weren't even simulators. They were actual battle. So these kids who thought they were playing games to learn how to do it when they go to do it were actually doing it from the start. So it's this big mind fuck, especially, you know, back then when I was in my, I was like, oh my God, I played games with guns. Are they like monitoring me to see
if I'm the best? I like this book better when it was called The Last Starfighter. I was going to say.
But needless to say, I mean, they're kind of doing simulators like that now that are becoming more realistic, you know, and I mean, they're kind of a way to gauge, you know, the hidden potential that people might have. I mean, granted, I don't tend to think about that too much when I'm playing games, but I'm sitting there going, okay, I mean, I play Left 4 Dead pretty well. Granted, in reality,
the zombies kill me.
Regardless of that, I mean, if you know anything about, you know, zombie tactics, you wouldn't want zombies to pile up on you and attack you in any way because that would infect you. So I mean,
zombie tactics.
Yeah, so I mean, obviously the core mechanic of that game defies zombie survival principle, but that's completely different. But I use that fairly well. I know when to throw the right type of thing to lure a whole bunch of them away. I know what type of gun I want to use for what type of battle. You know, I'm thinking logically, you know, and militaristically, you know, at the same time. And God forbid, you know, they actually had monitoring systems like in our games to look for stuff like that. Or people who are playing these military games, you know, like Modern Warfare 2. I mean, you know, there was a huge thing about that one mission in that Russian mission where everyone was like, whoa, that was a tad bit too realistic for me.
But it really wasn't. It's just pixels running around the mall. I had a lot of fun in that mission. But and it was mostly because everybody made... I was just talking
about the initial hype, though. The initial hype, everyone was like, right. Oh my God.
But you know what? I think there really needs to be a distinction between things that are really simulated life, okay, like a sim game, and then a shooter, okay? In the parts of Modern Warfare where, you know, you're controlling the Predator drone, like that felt like to me that it was mirroring reality because that shit really happens.
Yeah, it does.
Okay? And I'm not saying that terroristic things don't happen because they do. But outside of that, okay, you're still a third person looking in and controlling a pixelized avatar using pixels to change the form of pixels. All right, you're not really firing a bullet.
Right.
You perform an action and pixels form in a way that looks like a bullet. And then,
well, let me ask you, with the way that our gaming technology is beginning to change with something like a Natal, mm-hmm. or, you know, a Move thing where we're going to be starting to mimic actions that are very much like the real thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, do you think that that might desensitize people and make it even harder to distinguish between reality and non-reality?
I think that it's going to be a special type of person, just like it is right now, that has difficulty separating and understanding the difference between reality and any kind of simulation, you know, non-reality. It's going to be the same type of person that's going to have difficulty with that. I don't see you, for instance, having any problem playing a game, let's say where, you know, you have a sword.
I have a sword in my room.
I know. But I don't see you having any difficulty playing a game where you're hacking and slashing through, we'll say, zombies. Okay. Using a system like Natal. And when you turn that off, I don't see you going up to your room and grabbing your sword and walking around knowing that zombies are going to come. And right, slash
people. For one, I know zombies aren't going to come out of my closet because, I mean, I zombie-proofed my room. But, I mean, I do. I practice sword strokes.
Right. But do you then take your sword out with you into public? And
no, because I would get arrested.
Exactly, because you know the difference between practice, private, play, and reality.
I mean, once the zombie apocalypse happens...
The zombie apocalypse is not going to happen. It will. Understand that.
And we'll have to go find Twinkies.
Stop it, Twinkies.
Because they have a shelf life. They will eventually expire.
And then they're just really good cake with like a heart center. Ooh. Here's the thing, though. I think that... you know, things like Natal and the motion sensing things that are going to be happening with the PS3 and what's already going on with the Wii that will have to adapt and get better. I think that those things are going to make gameplay interesting as they're taken advantage of by developers. Okay, because let's face it, the Wii has had motion sensing for a while now. And there are some games that, you know, take full advantage of it, and some games that just kind of tack it on, and it feels tacked on, and it's not fun. You know, I don't know what Natal is going to be. I'm hoping that I get to take a look at it at E3, and that I really get to, you know, get some hands-on time with it and play with it, because I'll have a better understanding of how it's going to affect gamers and things like that. But the reality is, video games don't desensitize people any more than watching the local news in the evening, than watching movies, than watching TV, hell, even cartoons.
Yeah, it's true.
Okay, you know, I would put The Hurt Locker as a movie that would desensitize people to violence and war way more than playing a Medal of Honor game. Because anybody who understands reality understands that in a video game, you have a start button, you have a do-over. In reality, there's no do-over. There's down, there's not coming back from that.
Well, I mean, I think that's, you know, a point when you hear a story where, you know, some Japanese kid did a jackknife off of like a 20-story building after, you know, being depressed off of playing WoW or playing through a game like that and thinking that, you know, I think that's where that line is distorted. Because, I mean, there are some people who are weaker to that and have fallen
prey. But it's the same thing as people that are predispositioned to, you know, having addictive personalities. Okay, that's something that you're predisposed to. Okay, video games aren't going to make you do something that you weren't either already thinking about doing. Period. Okay, no.
I don't know. I never had a desire to raise a farm full of piñatas.
And do you in reality now have a desire to raise a farm full of piñatas?
No, but I like the idea of farm life now a little bit.
But, again, we're talking about taking a virtual experience and taking it into another virtual experience. Your question is blurring the line between virtual and reality.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I mean, back when I was addicted to WoW, I found a lot of similarities.
Those are such dark days.
I remember being able to find, you know, correlations between things that I was doing in game that I was doing in real life. And
having auctions?
No, but I shouldn't go into it.
Why don't we just leave it alone?
Yeah.
And let's put it like this. No media is going to make you do something that you weren't already predisposed to doing, whether it was a decision that you were making, that you were fully cognizant of making, or whether it's an addiction that you were all predisposed to doing. Video games don't make you cheat. If you're already thinking about cheating on your significant other, the video game medium just makes it easier for you to net.
Well, maybe like games like Grand Theft Auto, where you could cheat on everybody and just have lots of sex might deter you from actually, you know, cheating on you.
You know, you can't convince me that, you know, playing casually any game is going to desensitize you to stuff. I think that, like anything, when you get an addiction to something and when you do something too much, that it's going to have negative impacts on you. I mean, that's just human nature. But I don't think that any medium is any stronger than another for that.
Okay.
Because right. Otherwise, I would be living la vida loca.
Regardless. So, I mean,
that song was the shit back in the day.
I mean, do I think that they might want to do something like that, going back to the original question with Boy Scouts and stuff like that?
Yes.
I would say a regular Boy Scout that has no intentions of going Eagle Scout or may or may not like it. I mean, if it's a Boy Scout who wants to be an Eagle Scout, once he's an Eagle Scout, wants to join the military, I think it should be a totally separate track. Give him that option to do extra work in that field and see if that's really something he wants to do. A regular Boy Scout who just wants to go into the woods with his dad and men and piss on trees or whatever it is that they do in the woods.
So do boys go into the woods to piss on trees with their dads? Is that
with their dads. Yep. Oh. Same tree, son. Same tree. And I think they kill things and grunt into the night. I mean, I've never seen it. I don't know.
I don't know what men do with boys in the woods. I don't know. Unless they're priests, and then we don't. I mean, and that's sad.
I mean, we know that there's always a traditional, like, fire with s'mores. But, you know, they got to do something during the day. And I think that's tree pissing, bird watching, and grunting, I think. Like I said, I've never been there. I wouldn't know.
Okay, but so the only thing that came to my mind was, like, that episode of Family Guy where Peter and Chris are stuck in the woods. Okay.
But needless to say. So, I mean, a child that grows up and has a strong sense of, quote-unquote, duty, that may want to pursue a career in the military, make that a separate track. I would understand that logic, and I'd be supportive of that.
Do you think this badge is bullshit?
Yes, I do. Ding. And it's like, if they were gonna, no offense, but if they were gonna make a video game badge, then it should have been more video game oriented. Yes, I understand that. Oh, let's make sure we get games that are age appropriate, but let's talk about completion. Let's go. Let's buy a game. Let's play through it. Let's complete it. Discuss. Move on. Not, oh, let's do this and inspire a family. These kids are like 8. The last thing that they want to do is do something with their family, which is why they joined the fucking Boy Scouts in the first place.
Like, this is my night away from Dad.
Dad. And now Dad is here.
Yeah, exactly. I had to talk to Dad and Mom about video games. And I don't even want to talk about Imagine Babies.
Oh, God.
Imagine Babies.
Could you imagine that? It'd be like, tell us 3 proper things to do with babies. Well, I'm only 10, so I shouldn't have one.
Well, that's the first proper thing.
Sally. And then if I do have one, I should give it up for adoption because I'm only 10 and I can't work in the United States because that's illegal. Oh my God, I would be such an...
Oh my God. That's
so glad I was never a Brownie or a Girl Scout.
I don't want to talk about it. Let's keep moving.
All right, then. So, yeah, more or less, that was just a bunch of bollocks. And I think it's crap. And they should just get back to tying ropes and pissing on trees.
Tying ropes, pissing on trees.
Okay. And that's all I have to say about that.
All right. Well, I think we know how you feel.
If you don't, I could say it all again. I mean, I've got time.
I think we're good. Sure? I think we got it.
Should I write it in a memo?
No, don't write it in a memo. I think we got it.
All right.
I think we're good. Right. I think we're okay.
Okay. Wow. So yeah, I think I'll rest on that laurel for a bit.
Okay. Is it comfy? Is it cushy?
Yeah, it's very cushy.
Okay. That's good. That's a good thing. So last little bit of geekiness before we head out. This summer is gearing up to be the nerd's bestest summer ever.
Bestest? How old are you?
Bestest. You know what? Shut up. It's true. Bestest nerd summer ever's.
Ever's?
Ever's. It is. That's how you know it's more awesome, because it has a Z in it. Iron Man 2 dropped last week.
I haven't seen it. And here's where I say something that I probably shouldn't say.
Oh, here we go.
I haven't seen the first one.
What?
Yep.
I'm
probably the only person on earth besides blind people.
Oh my God. It's on demand. Fix that today. Like today. You need to fix that. Like right now.
Yeah. I still haven't
seen it. You've lost like 10 cool points with me.
I'm always losing cool points with you.
Sometimes you gain them, but right now, I mean, you're losing them. So you're hemorrhaging cool points, and you need to fix this. Or you're gonna die.
Give me a cool points band-aid.
You can't have.
Tourniquet. Give me a tourniquet.
Not until you see that movie. Oh my God. Okay.
Yeah, I haven't seen it. And I've had like 4 invitations to go see the movie. And I'm like, I'd go see it, but I
didn't fix it. Look, fix it. It's on demand. It's free. Do it now. Do it now.
Well, I can't do it right now because we're recording. Well, we're
done.
Now.
Do it. Because this is ridiculous. Okay. You got Iron Man 2. Tron Legacy.
I heard Tron Legacy sucked.
No. Tron Legacy. It's happening. Because it's not out yet. So I don't know who told you it sucked.
I think somebody saw a leaked version and said it sucked.
Well, leaked versions typically tend to suck because they're not finished, and that's why they're leaked. Tron Legacy, dropping. Gotta go see it. Scott Pilgrim movie.
Oh my God, yes.
Okay, God. Just to start it off, okay? Then on the other hand, you got Alan Wake video game. You know, you might have heard of it. Redemption. Little guy coming out. Red Dead Redemption. Little game. You maybe heard of it. Maybe you didn't. It's dropping too. This summer is like the nerdtastic summer. Because there's even more games. I've got my list someplace of like all the things that are coming out. So I'm like, motherfuck, I'm going to be broke. But it's like nerd. It's like. It's
nerdvana.
It's nerdvana. It's come together. And it's just like this perfect storm of just awesome. Okay, there's the planets have aligned. Good concerts are going on all over the place. Summer blockbusters actually look like they're going to be good fucking movies to go see. Toy Story 3, for fuck's sake.
Yes.
The Pixar. I'm pleased. This pleases me.
If I had a penis, it would be erect right now.
Okay, and you know what? We're going to end on that note. So make sure that you keep visiting us on our website, www.electricsisterhood.com, or you can use the short address, which is
esh.mobi. That's esh.mobi. The short address will bounce into the long one, and like we said, you can check out any articles that we've written within the week. If you have any questions about those articles or just questions for us, you can email us at questions@esh.mobi. If you aren't listening to us on iTunes, you can subscribe.
Click over to Book Tangle on our website or search for us in iTunes and find us as electricsisterhood.com. Subscribe so we can get all the esh goodness as soon as it's hot, popping fresh.
And if you don't want to do that, then you can plug us into any RSS reader or any podcast search engine. You can also find some great shows coming out of our camp.
That's right. There's the Boston Best Brigade that hits you every Tuesday with a new episode of their podcast, which is co-hosted by our very own King Baby Duck. So make sure you check out bostonbestbrigade.com and see what all those bastards and wenches are up to. Then there's also Geek Agro, which gets your nerd on, people. Their new episodes come out typically Mondays. Sometimes Tuesdays, but you can always listen to them Wednesday, so that way you'll have podcast goodness all the way to the hump day of the week. And then you can check out what we're writing on our respective websites, follow us on our Twitters, you can follow the YouTubes, because we put things on the YouTubes, we've got pictures on the Flickr. I mean, there's not a corner of the internet that we're not on.
Well, the porn part.
Well, yeah, we don't do the porn thing. You know, the lucrative one. Anyway. So we've got all that. And then to top it off, we're also getting moms in on the deal now. So if you've got a question, something that's just burning a hole in your brain that you can't answer, well, why don't you ask our mom? Send the question to questions@esh.mobi. We'll gather up a couple of them. We'll have mom take a swing. And we'll put a little bit of that on the end of the old podcast there.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what we're going to do. So...
you'll enjoy her advice just as much as I enjoy her advice.
Yeah.
Please note sarcasm.
And you better have done something nice for your mom yesterday.
Yeah, dude.
Or you suck.
Yeah.
And you suck at life and you will never be anything ever in your life. So with that, I'm going to have to say, hey, Panda, you got anything that you need to declare?
Yes, I do. What? I have several things I needed to.
Oh crap! Here we go.
No, it's
okay. Just, it's simple.
Okay. Yep, and it's very simple. I am wearing pants today.
I am so proud of you.
I felt that Dave deserved pants.
Well, I feel and that every day deserved pants.
And is there anything else? I've got a YouTube video in the mix. Yep, I'm about halfway done with that. So, check us out on the YouTube. Check it out!
Woot woot.
That's it.
That's all?
Well, for me. What about you? Anything that you need to declare?
I would like to declare that I am, in fact...
not wearing pants?
No, I have on pants. Thank you very much. I would like
to... are you wearing other things?
Yes, I am. Shut you lip. Shut you the lipping.
I pulled a ninja a week ago.
Stop it. Shut up.
I did it on purpose.
My time. I have the mic. I speak. You shitty. You shitty. So, okay. I would also like to declare that I am retiring my Adidas and am going to go whole hog Converse only for the sneaker attire.
For the rest of your life?
Pretty much. I've got to let the white and white shell toes go. You know, they had a good run, but I got to tell you, the customizable Chucks, Nike, you got me. You had me at customizable. Yeah. So.
I think they had you at sneakers.
No, because I don't like Nike sneakers, but I fucking love Chucks. So when they bought Converse, I was like, oh, please don't suck. And they've been just knocking it out of the park. And now that I can customize every style of Chuck that they make, I'm like, ha, need a towel.
Here, have this towel. It's
cool. Thank you. So I am Ninja Sista.
And I'm Pandalicious.
We are out of here until next week, guys.
Bye.
Stay vicious.